Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to John 13. In verse 17, the Word of God says, "If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. This word happy is not frequently used in the New Testament. There's only a handful of instances where you find this word happy. But the Word of God says, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. In John 15:11, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that your joy may remain, and that your joy may be full." And then here in John 13, "Happy are you if you know these things, and you do them." If is a first class subjunctive. That means if and you do. If you know them, and I know that you do. Know is the word oidate. It's a present active indicative of eido, and it means to perceive. If you perceive these things, happy are you. Happy is the word makarios. It means blessed, fortunate, and happy. And then if you, Ian, third class subjunctive, maybe you will, maybe you won't. In other words, he's saying here, you know them, but if, and maybe you will and maybe you won't, you do them, you're going to be happy. And then you do, in the original language, it's saying if you keep on doing. He's talking about a promised experience. This is one of the few places in the Bible where it really deals with our experience, and there is a promise of experience. It's not a promise according to position. It's a promise of experience. In your experience, you'll be blessed and happy. If you know these things, and I know that you do, the things that are in your perception, if you do them, and you keep on doing them. Now, what specifically are we to keep on doing? Well, this passage is about washing feet. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. He said, if you wash people's feet, if that is in your perception, and I now know that it is because your feet have been washed, then if you continually wash people's feet, you'll be happy. The events of the cross, the events of our redemption, started here in John 13. This was the beginning of the actual crucifixion events. There was the Last Supper. The Last Supper took place just prior to Jesus' death. The next morning, he was on the cross. Here, he starts the Last Supper with the washing of feet. Why did he start with the washing of feet? Because all of the events related to the cross were about washing feet. We're about restoration, reconciliation, and expression of God's loving kindness, of His mercy, of His grace. So what this is really saying, I give you this promise. If you are those who wash feet, if you are those who express mercy, if you are those who are long-suffering in your patience, if you are those who are kind, if you are those who reconcile people, if you are those who are not self-oriented, love does not seek its own. Love is not puffed up. It's not vainglorious. It thinks no evil. If you are those who think this way and act this way, who respond to having this kind of love in your perception, then you will be happy. How many people out there say, "I'm not happy"? If you ask Christians, "Are you happy?" Like, be honest in your heart. You don't have to tell another person, but are you happy? I can't help but wonder how many of them would say, "No, I'm really not very happy. I might have moments of happiness, but in my life as a whole, I'm not really very happy." Well, then here is a promise for you. If you want to be happy, happy are those who have these things in their perception and they act upon them according to what I have done. I noticed something about people who are unhappy, miserable people. Have you ever noticed this also? That miserable people are always living in some form of self-orientation. It's always something about them where their misery is rooted. "I'm so unhappy about my circumstances. I'm miserable about my circumstances." And you may ask them, "Why are you miserable about your circumstances?" "Because they don't edify me. Because they are difficult for me. Because I don't know the answers. Because I don't have the money. Because I don't whatever." And it's some form of me and negativity. Negativity is only present when it's about me. That's where negativity lives. Or you may have negativity or unhappiness with people. "Well, my husband is like this. Or my wife is this way. Or my children are so. Or my boss is like this toward me. Or my co-workers are so difficult." Or whatever you have. "My children don't listen to me." Again, my orientation is me. I've never met a happy person who was self-oriented. You know why? Because they were God-oriented. This is what this is saying here in John 13:17. "Happy are you if what I have done for you is your frame of reference and you live according to what I have done for you toward other people. Wash each other's feet. This will make you happy." It's fascinating how that works. You find someone who is, let's say, hurtful toward you. Maybe they're negative toward you for whatever reason. Maybe it's legitimate, maybe it's not legitimate. It really doesn't matter. And they express their negativity. And this can really ruin your day. This can really weigh on your heart. This can really cause you to lose some sleep. This can take away your joy. And maybe your sorrow because of this. Well, happy are you if you wash feet. In other words, somebody is, let's say, negative toward you or unkind, and you wash their feet. And as you're washing their feet, you're expressing loving kindness to them. Somebody is mean to you, but you are kind to them in response. You're loving to them in response. Did you know that this protects your own heart? It protects the joy that you possess. It's not that you won't recognize that somebody said an unkind thing, but it protects your joy to wash their feet. It protects your joy to be merciful. It protects your joy to be forgiving. Have you ever met someone who is unforgiving and how miserable they become because of the things they would not forgive? And it steals their joy. And this, of course, is told us in Luke 6:37 that this would be the case. It steals their joy. It steals their peace. And it sometimes steals their life. And it can steal their intimate relationships with friends or with family, because they would not forgive somebody over here. I recently saw that movie, and I don't like preaching about movies, but it's a true story about what actually happened to someone. And I think it's a good example of this. I saw that movie, Saving Mr. Banks, about the making of Mary Poppins. And how that story was actually about deep pain that the writer of that book had in her own life related to her father and her perceived inability to please him. She loved him dearly and he loved her, but he had a set of problems. And as a result, she felt like she could never quite please him. And into her older age, she still suffered from this sense of, I must please my father. And then Walt Disney brought something to her attention, and it set her free. That maybe you could wash his feet in this particular application. Maybe you could forgive him, maybe you can forgive yourself. Maybe you can let go of things, because there's no need to hold on to them. Because God has a plan in your life, and He didn't talk to her about God's plan as far as I know. But the principles that He spoke to her were according to this line of thinking. It's very good and godly principle. Even the world can apply godly principles and receive their benefits, even if they did reject Christ. And I don't know that those people did, and I don't know that they didn't. I don't know anything about them. I hope they were saved. You know, washing feet is one of the healthiest things we can do for our own psychology. Because we can focus on ourselves. Focusing on ourselves is one of the worst things we can do for our psychology. Much depression comes from focusing on ourselves. Not all depression, but much depression, much anguish, sorrow, doesn't come really from our circumstances, but our focus and our way of thinking. Jesus says, you'll be happy if you wash feet, because you have that in your frame of reference. Okay, so my frame of reference is one of the love of God. And I say, I will love the unlovely because I possess the love of God, because I have received the love of God. And there are those who are unlovely, but I express a cross in my life. And as they are unlovely toward me, albeit I am fully aware of it, because I do have a functioning mind. If somebody throws a rock, I can still feel it. Although they are unlovely toward me, I will not be unlovely toward them. Have you ever considered that sometimes just for the sake of being loving toward people, you accept the wrong? And by accept the wrong, I don't mean that you identify yourself with it. I just mean you don't necessarily rebuke it. You just accept the wrong, and you are kind in return. You don't necessarily defend yourself. You accept the wrong, and you are merciful in return. You express the character of God. God did not like when he was a man as they spit in his face, or they punched him. When it says they buffeted him, it means that they punched him, not just with open fists, as some portrayed, but with closed fists. And they punched him, and they beat him, and they whipped him. But he didn't say a word. Pilate says to him, "Who are you?" And he gives no answer. And Pilate says, "Don't you know that I have the power to crucify you?" And then how does he express it? Jesus says to Pilate, "You would have no power over me at all if it was not given to you from heaven." Blew Pilate's mind. Pilate couldn't believe what he heard. "The only reason you have power from me is because God gave you what you have over me." Blew Pilate's mind. And Pilate says, "This man is innocent. I see no fault in him." Now ultimately he was also cowardly and he yielded to the demands of the Pharisees. But Jesus did not answer in kind. Jesus never lost his joy. He experienced sorrow, but he did not lose joy. We are the same way. We can experience sorrow without ever losing our joy. We can experience wounds and still be happy. We can experience suffering and still have contentment, because we wash people's feet. Washing people's feet, in some ways, is similar to winning the lost. It's the same kind of an idea, where Proverbs 11:30 says, "He that wins souls is wise." He that wins souls is wise. He that wins souls is wise. But what does it say immediately? What is the juxtaposition? What did God connect to this? "The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. And he that wins souls is wise." Have you ever considered that the souls that we win are not only the souls of the lost, but we can also win the souls of the saved? How do I win a saved soul? Well, the Word of God tells us that we win souls through reconciliation. You have someone who's unkind and you wash their feet and you reconcile them. You don't just reconcile the lost, you reconcile the wandering at times. You reconcile perhaps the carnal. You reconcile the wounded. You reconcile the weak. You reconcile those who are failing. You reconcile them also. And you do it by washing their feet. If I wash people's feet, it's not possible for me to become overoccupied with myself. Because if I am overoccupied with myself, I will not wash feet. But on the other hand, when I don't take myself so seriously, and by that I don't mean just like I elevate myself in the obvious ways, but my own life, my own experiences, the things that have perhaps wounded me in the past, I don't take them so seriously. I've had perhaps trouble with my children as they were growing up, and we never experienced a healthy reconciliation till today. And I can say, these things are very grievous to me and they steal my joy. But I tell you, don't take it so seriously. Because that separation is not an eternal separation. Maybe they are lost, but that is another issue. But maybe they are not lost. Maybe they are saved. There are plenty of families where the children and the parents are Christians and they do not have a healthy relationship. That is not a permanent separation. Don't take it so seriously. What do I mean by don't take it so seriously? This is where I start taking things too seriously. When I stop having a mindset that would draw near to the character of God and then express it. When I feel like because of my circumstances, I cannot walk with God so well any longer, I feel too weakened. You are taking your circumstances too seriously. I may say my circumstances can do me harm. And I'm telling you then, look to the promises of God and not to your circumstances. Have an expectation from the promises of God more than you have an expectation from your circumstances. And then you will not take your circumstances more seriously than you do the Word of God. Don't take yourself so seriously. I've been wounded. Don't take yourself so seriously. I don't like what they said. Don't take yourself so seriously. You cannot wash their feet if you take yourself so seriously, and you will lose your joy. Happy are you if you understand from your frame of reference that the thing to do is wash people's feet. Love the unlovely. Be kind to those who are not kind. Love your enemy. Do good to them that spitefully use you, Jesus said. Express the character of God in a pure manifestation without self-observation. Can you live without self-observation? That's the only way you can live, is without self-observation. In John 14:23, the Word of God says that Jesus said, "If a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loves me not keeps not my sayings." What does this tell me? This tells me that the sayings, if I have them in my frame of reference, I will be happy. Why? Because Jesus loves me. And now I get to experience it in a very practical and tangible way. Because I have not simply become a distant recipient, but a present vessel of the love of God. And not just a vessel, but perhaps a passageway for the love of God to flow through. Here's the difference between a vessel and a passageway. Let's say that you have a 5-gallon bucket and you have a hose that you hook up to your spigot and you pour water through your hose into your 5-gallon bucket. Which one experiences more water? The bucket or the hose? The hose. The bucket can only hold as much water as its capacity. But you can pour water through the hose all day long. And every ounce of water in the city can pass through your hose as it pours into one bucket after another bucket after another bucket. It's the Elijah principle. The widow with a little bit of oil and a little bit of wheat. And Elijah said, make me a cake and give me some water. And she said, I have just a little bit and I'm making it for my son and I, and then we're going to go and die. And he says to the widow, make it for me. And he says, your wheat won't run out and your oil will not run out. And then he says to her later, says, grab all the jars you can from all your neighbors and fill up as much oil as you can. Because as long as you keep pouring it out, it's going to be there for you. Which one experiences more water, the bucket or the hose? The bucket only according to what it is able. But the hose according to the source of the water. What Jesus is saying here is be the hose. The one that experiences according to the ability of the source and not simply a receiver in a limited and finite capacity. But one that has an unlimited supply because it's passing through you and not just into you. And then you will be happy. How many people would say, I want to be happy? Show of hands, I want to be happy. I want to be happy. Don't we all want to be happy? Of course we do. We're not stupid. Of course we do. We all want to be happy. That's a normal thing for a human being. But you can't find happiness where it's not located. You can only find it at its source. And Jesus said, this is your source of happiness. Have what I've done for you as your frame of reference. That's the first part. And the second part is pour it out. And let it flow through you. And keep letting it flow through you. You see, He said, you're going to receive it. If, first class condition subjunctive. If and you do. If you perceive these things. If and you perceive these things. Yes, you do. But that's not the end of the story. If you perceive these things and if you do them. Happy are you if, third class subjunctive. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. It's been done for you, but maybe you will allow it to pass through you unto other people, and maybe you will not allow it to pass through you unto other people. But the difference will be your happiness. People who will not allow the character of God to pass through them, who only will have it toward themselves, are amongst the most miserable people. Do you know why? Because when the widow was out of jars, the oil stopped pouring. You want it to pour through you. In the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. You want it to pour through you. And you want to keep it pouring through you. You want to be someone who finds someone to bring to reconciliation. You want to do this in your families. Husbands with loving kindness and patience toward their wives. Wives with loving kindness and patience toward their husbands. And this is what produces a happy marriage. Young people, pay attention to this. You're going to need to know this sometime in the future. Married people, pay attention to this. Maybe you need to know this now. You want to be happy in your marriage? Don't blame your wife or don't blame your husband for their faults. That's not the source of your unhappiness. That is perhaps the expression of the fact that you're not pouring out. That you are entering into that relationship or dwelling in that relationship in a self-oriented attitude. Instead, be like the hose and not like the bucket. Instead, if your wife is this way. Be loving and you be kind to her and be patient with her. If your husband is this way, be loving and be kind to him and be patient with him. Then you will have a happy relationship. This is why so many marriages are bad, even in Christianity. Because they are not the hose, they are the bucket. They say, I want from you. And the other says, and I want from you. And the other one says, but you're not giving me. And the other says, you're not giving me either. And they're both a pair of buckets. And one of them, or both of them, if they have that mentality, are miserable. And they are sometimes wounding to the other. But what would happen if the husband or the wife is perhaps unkind and they don't respond in kind? And they say, I don't like these 10 things about you, and let me tell you all about them. And they listen. Wounding perhaps, but they listen. They say, well, I'm sorry. And then they say, I love you. And they don't bring up the fact that at that point of pointing the finger, the other is actually in the ministry but under the orientation of perhaps a demon in their accusation. But they don't bring that up. And they simply receive it as Jesus received it. And then they simply say, I love you.
What do you mean you love me? Don't tell me you love me. Get away from me.
Alright. And they give them their space for an hour. And then they come and say, you okay? I love you. And maybe that will break the person and maybe it won't. And you can have both taking place. A person may be broken by that, or a person may not be if they harden their heart. And self-orientation always causes us to harden our heart. But what it will do is it will protect your capacity and your joy and your happiness. Because you are a hose. Because you have a source and there is life pouring through you from the source, even if it is one who is unreceptive, but it's still pouring through you. And you have a source. And you have life. And you have joy. And though you may not have the quality of relationship that you perhaps desired when you got married, perhaps though you still have your joy and you still have your source and you still have your life that God gave to you. Not self-life, God's life. God will deal with the other person in due time. And perhaps they will humble themselves and they will respond, or perhaps they will in pride harden their heart and God will simply deal with them. By the way, this is a little bit of a provocative question, but bear with me. How much do you want to be dealt with by God? Consider that. How much do you want to be dealt with by God? I don't mean how much you want to be ministered to, loved by God. I mean, how much do you want to be dealt with by God? God deals with His children when He needs to. You know why I ask that? Because God deals with the proud. When I become self-oriented or self-occupied, that is the expression of pride. And He resists the proud. He loves them immensely. He desires nothing more than for them to turn and humble themselves. But at the same time, pride is not something that God tolerates. He is patient with the sinner, but He is not indefinitely going to allow them to live in their sin. Albeit He may be patient with the sinner. How much do we want to be dealt with by God? Perhaps we would do well to humble ourselves before God. Remember, my responses to you are a direct indicator of my responses to God. How much do I want to be dealt with by Him? I would rather He be gentle with me. I would rather He be kind with me. And that is the way He will start with everyone. But if I harden my heart, He will simply deal with me. How much do I want that? Happy are you? It takes humility to wash people's feet. It takes a cross to wash people's feet. Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up a cross and follow me." A cross is required in anything that has any kind of relationship to God and me. If I want to have any kind of dealings with God, if I want to have any kind of fellowship with God, if I want to have any kind of relationship with God, a cross is required. Remember, your cross is your death to death. And it's life unto God. We have to have these things in our lives. In Matthew 7 and verse 2, remember, you pick your judgment. You choose your judgment. How happy do you want to be? You choose your judgment. Judge not and you will not be judged. With what measure you dish it out, it's dished out back to you. Do you know why? Because you always dish it out according to your own perceptions. You see, if it is in my perception of washing feet because Jesus washed my feet, and then if I do that, then I'll be happy. That perception element is extraordinarily important. According to the measure that I give out, I will receive. God would give me all things. God would give me all mercy. God would give me all grace. God would give me all patience. God would give me all gentleness. But I choose what I receive. And my choice is made according to whether I simply take it for myself or pour it out. What do you pour out? It's what you've received. You did not receive it from any person. You simply refused to receive it or did receive it from God. And accordingly, you will pour it out. You pour out anger. It is because you have received Satan's anger. Ever meet somebody who is perpetually angry? More and more we have them in our society. These are people who are expressing the anger of demons. They don't know it. They don't even intend to. But they don't understand that it's not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. They don't understand that all things have a source. They don't understand that living in my old sin nature is giving place to the devil. And we are told not to. You want to be happy? Wash feet. Simple. It's an easy prescription that Jesus gave. How willing are you to wash feet? Your feet have been washed. Are you willing to do the same for others? If you are, you will be happy. If you are not, you will not be happy. It is simple. I'd rather be a hose than a bucket. A bucket receives and doesn't pour out. It only pours out when somebody comes along and tips it. God will tip you over sometimes to humble you. But a hose, that's all it does. And it can receive and receive and receive and receive, and it never stops receiving. And here's the last point of this. The hose doesn't need much capacity. It just needs to be a hose. It can be a little garden hose. It can be one of those little hoses they sell at the home center where they have the bug spray and stuff that you put on your trees, and this little dinky little minuscule hose. It could be a fire hose. It doesn't matter how big the hose is. It can process the same amount of water, perhaps not as fast, but it can process the same amount of water ultimately. Doesn't matter on your capacity. It doesn't matter about your capacity. It's not related to that. It's what you do with what you've received. If you receive loving kindness, pour out loving kindness. And you'll be happy. It's about washing feet that makes us happy. You want to be happy? That's how you do it. You wash feet. Amen.